I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. While you're turning, somewhere around 10 or 11 years ago, we went through two times this book. The book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the last few weeks, I have felt compelled by the Lord's leadership, I pray so, to go back and look at the letters that were written to the seven churches in Asia. I began to contemplate this, I'm going to say probably, I said a few weeks, it might have been a couple of months ago. And every time I would contemplate it, I'd say, no, this is not it. Yesterday morning, I woke up considering these seven letters, and I feel as though the leadership of God's Spirit, and I mean this as sincerely as I know, has directed my heart to look. If the Lord gives me liberty to look at all seven letters over the next few weeks, I'll try to deal with them again. But this morning, I'd like for us to look at the first letter that was written, that letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. A few years ago, I heard Brother Henry Mahan say this: if you have something to say to somebody, a weighty issue, he said, write him a letter. He said, you'll have some time to think it through and to express it well. And he said, it'll give them an opportunity to go back and read it again. Hopefully, profit from the letter. This morning, I've entitled this message, A Letter from the Lord. Seven letters were to be written to the seven churches that are in Asia. None of those churches are there anymore. The Lord has removed the candlestick from each one of them. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, the Lord directing the Apostle John said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Each one of those letters were written to a specific church, but each one of those letters ended this way: he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So every letter was for every church, and it is so with Katy today. In every other church where the Lord has raised up the gospel of God's grace, these letters were written to God's people. This is not written to churches where the gospel is not being preached. God Almighty speaks to His people. Now we want to carefully consider what the Lord had to say because of who the letter's from. Look at chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now listen to this. Grace be unto you and peace from Him who is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is written to God's people. This is not an open letter, just written to everybody, no matter what, throughout the world. This is written to those that God Almighty has shown mercy and compassion to. From the thrice holy God, the eternal one, in the fullness of His Spirit. That's what it means, from the seven spirits, the fullness of His Spirit. And all of this, grace and mercy to you through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has made our acceptance and peace before God Almighty. Not by our merit, not by our work, not by our worth. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Brethren, we need to hear what God has to say this morning. And I pray, as I've looked at these verses, gone over these verses, gone over my notes, wrote and rewrote and scratched out, and wrote sideways, and inserted, and I pray that Almighty God bless these words to our heart. I pray that today God might be pleased to send revival. Verse 1, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, just if you'll just look back at the last verse of the first chapter, it says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the angel that he's referring to in verse 1, the star, is the pastor. Almighty God raises up a pastor in a church where God is pleased to bless. He's going to send His word, and He's going to send His word through a pastor. A pastor, the scripture says, that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you pastors after my heart. Pastors that don't lord over God's heritage, they instruct them. They're examples. This is a fearful position to be standing in. I'm standing before many, I'm convinced, that Almighty God has everlastingly loved, that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood for, that He bought by the sacrifice of Himself those that the Father chose from before the foundation of the world and gave them and trusted them to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help me as I stand before God's heritage in realizing the responsibility, the severity, the responsibility of being found faithful. Faithful. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. There was a church that Almighty God raised up. The scripture says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. This was a church that the Lord sent the Apostle Paul, that Saul of Tarsus that the Lord raised up. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious, arrogant Pharisee. Thought himself to be something. And Almighty God, in His mercy, knocked him off his high horse, revealed Himself to him, sent him into Damascus, and he sent Ananias over there, and he said, "You go talk to Saul of Tarsus. He's a chosen vessel unto me." And Almighty God called that man out of darkness, taught him the gospel, and sent him to this place, Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, "I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." God Almighty taught him the gospel. He saved him, taught him the gospel, sent him to this place. And he told him, he said, "I have been faithful to Almighty God and before you. I've preached the gospel to you." And this church that God sent the Apostle Paul to, they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel by the grace of God. And whenever it was time for the Lord to remove Paul, that church right there that tenderly received the gospel, it broke their hearts when God took Paul away. In Acts chapter 20, verse 36 to 38, after Paul had preached to him, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship." They thank God, they love that message, they love God's messenger. Appreciative, thankful, kissed him, loved him. God's people, they love each other. They're affectionate. You find a group of people that God's given a heart for the gospel. They love each other. Pray for one another. Thankful for one another. And that assembly at Ephesus, that was the church that God moved Paul to write the book of Ephesians, that blessed book we're going through right now. Oh, I'm telling you, you take that first chapter of the book of Ephesians, there'll not be a more clear, more blessed to the heart of God's people book in all of the Bible than Ephesians chapter 1. That one where God Almighty reveals through the Apostle Paul, you know, of God's electing grace. God, you know, had chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world, predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That was the book of Ephesians. That was written to this church, the church at Ephesus. And this letter, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." This one that is writing this letter, or sending the letter, John's penning it, but he's listening to what the Lord is saying, and he's penning this. This letter was from he that seizes with power and retains the seven stars. All of God's pastors. You know why anybody doesn't quit, especially a pastor, is because God keeps him. The responsibility, who in the world would ever of himself choose to be a pastor? I tell you, the only one that would choose to be one of himself is a false pastor. Nobody would choose this knowing the responsibility, knowing the one that they must answer to, knowing the one before whom we give an account. the watching over your souls, the heartache, the griefs, the joys, the privileges, all of the things that's involved. God Almighty must call a man and give him a heart to want to do this. And then God's keeping him by the grace of God. He that holdeth with power the seven stars in his right hand, in his hand of authority, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, who accompanies. I know where two or three are gathered together in his name. He said, I'm in the midst of you. Lord, you who walks in the midst of your people, that knows the hearts of your people, the minds, the thoughts. Lord, I pray even now, forgive me. Lord, for the inconsistencies. Oh, for the thoughts that are disrespectful. Here's the one that knows his people. He says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I know, he says, I know thy works. I know your acts. I know your toils. He knows their obedience to him. He knows their charity toward others. He said, I know. I know you're endeavoring, striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know. I know your devotion. Know our devotion to him. To him and his tri-unity. He said, I know your principles. I know your views. I know your motives. That they all spring from love to him. And I read that verse right there. And I think, Lord, could that possibly be me? Could that possibly be one such as I? You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know the thoughts that go through my mind. You have no idea. You know. You think, well, he's a pastor. He'd never think, oh, please. Are you kidding? But here's one that says, I know. I know. He that sees and knows. The Scripture says, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, in thy labor, thy wholehearted zealousness. I said, Lord, me looking at me, you that know him, let me ask you, is it thus with you? Is that the way it is with you? You look at yourself and you say, Lord, could that possibly be speaking of me? Me who sees in me no good thing in my flesh? He said, I know. I know your works, your labor, your patience, your endurance. Your endurance. He knows that they run well. That they're patient in sufferings and persecutions for the gospel's sake. You know, there was nothing outward about this assembly. No signs of decay or no signs of outward inconsistency. They're kept by the power of God. There was nothing outward that would appear to be inconsistent. He says, I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. I had to go back and check this just a minute ago. I wanted to make sure I understood as much as I could about what was being said. I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. The bear there means walk with. He said, I know how you cannot walk with them that are evil. Evil here. It means false in doctrine and practice. You can't bear. You can't walk with them that are inconsistent with the gospel. Now, listen, a lot of us at work, you got to work every day, and I understand that. That's right. You don't work, you don't eat. You know, I'm telling you, work's the best thing in the world that's ever happened to us, humanly speaking. Go to work. It's good for you. You need to. And I know you got to work around people that hate the gospel of God's free grace. I know that. But you're in this world, but you're not of it. This scripture is saying you don't walk with, in fellowship with, those that hate the God that you love. You just don't do it. You can't do it. You work around them. And sad to say, you have to tolerate them. But you're there, and you're there by God's good pleasure. You're there by appointment. But I'm telling you, I don't have any fellowship. Not fellowship. Now, I might have an acquaintance, but not fellowship. There is nothing to fellowship with. Light and darkness doesn't go together. It's two. He says, thou hast tried them that say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. There was no tolerance. There's no tolerance in fellowship. Now, I'm not talking about being mean. Don't be mean to anybody. I'm telling you, a mean, hard, arrogant spirit, you know, not a believer. Not a believer. Be you kind one to another. Tenderhearted. I'm not saying be mean to people that you are around. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you cannot fellowship with them. And the teacher, there's no tolerance for false teachers. You've tried how? By the scripture. By the scripture. People say, well, we're all working for the same thing. No, we're not. No. I'm not working for the same thing. Somebody else is preaching a false gospel. I'm not. No. No, sir. I've received so many phone calls. People want to know if I'll go down. I'm happening in Franklin. It happens here. We're going to have a citywide prayer meeting out in the courthouse down here. Want to know if we can count on you to come. We'll all stand together in unity and pray. No. I'm not trying to be mean. I just can't make it. I'll try to be nice, Mitch. Why? Because I don't agree with you. We're not praying to the same God. The God that I trust, look to, is the God of sovereign grace, electing grace, predestinating grace. Thou hast tried by the scriptures them which say they're apostles and are not. How do you know? According to the scriptures. Any man, Galatians 1:18, Paul says, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel of God's grace, sovereign grace, if we are an angel from heaven, there was a third of them that fell, and they're liars. If we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we've preached unto you. Now you go back and read the gospel that Paul preached. Go back and read Ephesians again. Go back and read 2 Thessalonians again. Go back and read. Read where the Lord says, you've not chosen me, I chose you. That one that Brother Neil just read, this is life eternal. That all that the Father's given me, may know Him, may know Christ. He said, you've tried by the Scriptures them which say they're apostles. And then the Lord says, and they're not. You found them liars. How do you know? The scriptures. has borne it out. He found them to be liars. This church, the church at Ephesus, and all churches that God's raised up, there's no unity with the religion of this world. I'm not trying to be hard or mean, or I'm just honest. I'm just honest with, according to these scriptures, we got to be honest with people. Do you know the truth is the only thing that's going to set a man free? Somebody was talking to me the other day, and they were talking about it. They said, "Well, I don't know if I ought to say that, you know, be so honest." I said, "Well, I can tell you this: a lie is not going to set them free. Silence is not going to set them free. The truth, sets you free." What did the Spirit of God say through the Apostle Paul? 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." Somebody say, "Well, what's your advice about going someplace where the gospel is not preached?" Don't go. Why? "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." If you don't believe what somebody's preaching, don't sit there. Don't go. Verse 3. "And has borne, has patience for my name's sake, has labored, hath not fainted." They continued patiently there in Ephesus. In all of the afflictions, the persecutions, for the sake of Christ, they labored. They toiled in the work of the ministry. It's a responsibility that I have. It's a joy, it's the privilege, and a calling that I have to be prepared. Be prepared. I heard somebody say the other day, and there's three or four of you men sitting here that heard the same thing. He called himself a preacher. And he made reference to, he said, "Well, I don't really worry too much about, you know, getting notes together and, you know, making," he said, "I just kind of go." And I thought, well, that's a foolish thing to say. A man that God calls, he's prepared. You study. You get into God's Word and you ask the Lord to give you some direction. Study. I have a responsibility to study and be prepared and ask the Lord's blessing. Asking God to bless the message to me and bless it to you. Bless it to your understanding. My understanding. I need to hear what I'm saying. I need to hear this. I have a responsibility. You that know Him, you that believe, you have a responsibility to this ministry right here. If God's called you out of darkness, you number one, you hear the gospel. You attend the hearing of the gospel. Preparation's been made. Be here. Hear it. Support it. God's people, they hear it. God's people support it. God's people pray for one another. God's people pray God's blessing upon this. We're a family. The Lord says, He said, "You've borne with patience for my sake, labored, and you haven't fainted. You haven't stopped. You haven't given up." This assembly believed the gospel of God's grace. They believed it. They believed that Almighty God chose a people. They believed that. They no doubt about that. They believed it. I just read it back in Acts 20, 36, 38. They heard. They received it. They loved it. Lord going to remove Paul. They wept and cried. They believed that the Lord Jesus Christ died for His elect. They believed in electing grace. They believed in redeeming grace. They believed in regenerating grace. They believed that Christ was made sin for them. They believed that. They believed in effectual calling All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They believed it. They believed it. And Lord, you read, go back and read it again after you're done. You read those first three verses right there. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You can't bear them that are evil. You tried them. They said they're apostles. They're not. You found them liars. You've borne. With patience, for my sake, you've labored. And faith. That's a good epitaph for a believer. I'm going to tell you something. You find somebody like faithful, faithful, faithful. And you thank God for them. Thank God for you. Nevertheless, and I'm gonna tell you this now, y'all. I'm talking to me now. I pray the Lord bless you, bless this next verse to your heart. But I'm gonna tell you something. This is to me. I'll stay right here in this pulpit and read this verse for myself. And I went over it again this morning, and it just, my heart. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Can that be? The Lord said it was. Now, he's talking to believers now. Now, I want to make that perfectly clear. I want to make sure that we all understood. And I want to make sure that we all understood that he had seen our works and labors, how we'd borne, how we couldn't fellowship with those that don't believe the gospel. Every believer in this congregation believes the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Every one of them. Every one of them. Nevertheless, the Lord here laid bare something that they never considered. Something they never saw. Something they thought never really could happen. Something that would cause every one of us to hide our faces in shame. Now, I'm telling you, there's not a believer in this congregation that's not going to hear this word and say, that's me. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now here's a good thing, because this, I'm telling you, my heart is just beating right now. I mean, look, this is a heavy issue right here. He did not say that you didn't love me at all. And I'm so thankful for that. He asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, after three times, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. Lord, you know I love you. And I'm telling you this morning, there's not a believer in this congregation that doesn't love him. You do love him. You do love him. Because if he's given you a heart for him, he's given you a heart to love him. And you do love him. Nevertheless, they had grown complacent. Now that's what it is. You've left your first love. She didn't abandon it. The church does not abandon her love for him. Because if she's ever loved him, it's because he loved her first. And if he's given her a heart that loves him, the gifts of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them back. Turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Now here's the absolute. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. Song of Solomon 5, verse 2 and 3. Here's a beautiful book of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. And I'm telling you, they love each other. They love each other. He loves them and she loves him. Song of Solomon 5:2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. I'm lax, I'm going to admit it. I'm complacent. I sleep, but my heart's alive. My heart waketh. And listen to this. It is the voice of my beloved. God's sheep hear His voice. It is the voice of my beloved which knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. You know what that's setting forth? We studied this right after I got here. He's never unaware. He's always there. And listen to our answer. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? You know what she said to him? I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. The Lord says, I have somewhat against thee. You've become complacent. You believe the doctrines. There's no doubt about that. We do. She didn't abandon him because she was kept by power. But her first love, that first love, the one who is foremost due our love. David said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon the earth that I desire but thee. The problem was not who or what she believed, but it was her attitude. Her attitude. And I'm telling you, we that know Him agree with this. We agree. You know, I'd hate to hear my wife say, "You just don't treat me like you used to," and that would hurt. You know, I think, really? Oh, I'm sorry. But to hear Him say it, to hear Him. Listen to these words. Something that he remembered and set forth. I'll read this. Jeremiah 2:2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Lord said, I remember. I remember. At first, when you first heard the gospel and it was fresh, alive. I'd never heard of this. I remember as the Lord began to reveal Himself to me, and I was looking at scriptures, and I could remember saying one time, I said, this is everywhere. Electing, sovereign, enduring grace. I remember. You know, after a while, I can read these blessed scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. And I can find myself reading that, and it's so common. Lord, help me that it might not be. May those words be brought to my heart from above with fire and rekindle a love for me. Well, may I read that? I'm going to tell you something. This is me. This is me. Lord, help me from becoming so familiar with these glorious truths that it would be said of me, Marvin, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. You're complacent. Everything else is so important. And the worship of God is not. Oh, how easily we mechanically, methodically go through the form of worship. Well, we're here. We'll have some scripture reading. Marvin's going to preach. We'll take a break. Marvin, preach. Let's go eat, y'all. Is it not so? There's no depth to which we'd fall if we weren't chastened, lovingly chastened. Back in Revelation 2, verse 5, listen to the remedy. Is there a remedy? Yes. Yes. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Thankfully, there's no judgment. There's no judgment. There's no judgment for God's people. Rebuke, chastening, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and corrects. He corrects. You know, I've heard parents say, I just love my children too much to correct them. Well, the Scripture says you don't love them at all. That's what Scripture says. You don't correct them, you don't love them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, correcteth. I need to hear this. I need to hear this. I need to hear that I'm complacent. I need to hear that I've left my first love. You know what it does for me? Let me tell you what it does for me. It makes me want to be like that prodigal. Went out there in a far land, wasted everything he had, and by the grace of God came to himself. He said, I'm going to go back to my daddy's house. And I'm going to say to my daddy, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've done it before you. Would you just make me one of the servants? I just want to be here. I just want to be back. I just want to give me something to do in the kitchen. And he said, the dad told him, he said, you get some shoes on this boy. And you put a robe on his back, and you kill the fatty calf, you put a ring on his finger. It's my boy. It's my boy. It's my boy. And there was rejoicing. This my son, lost, found. You've left your first love. But remember, be mindful of. Be mindful of, number one, our deviation. I need to be told. That word causes me to fly to him. Oh, what mercy that Almighty God would cause me to acknowledge my transgression. I am not in myself blameless. I'm not blameless. And you're not either. We might as well go ahead and be honest about it. Listen to Psalm 51:3. This is David, one that took Bathsheba. Took a woman, took a man's wife. Slept with her. Killed her husband. Lied about it. And Almighty God, in His infinite mercy and grace, sent a prophet to him. And he said, you're the man. You're wrong. You're wrong. And the Spirit of God moved on David to pen Psalm 51. In that psalm, this is what he said. Psalm 51:3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, how thankful I am that God would not be silent to me. Here's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Almighty God is going to chasten His people. David said, Lord, don't take your spirit away from me. I love this congregation. I love you. I thank God for you. I pray that God have mercy upon us. Help us, correct us. Cause us to look to Him. Crying unto Him. Repent. Do the first works. I thought about those first works in closing here. I do the first works. I was reading back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, he said, your election of God, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Faith is a work, not for salvation, but because of salvation. It's a work that is wrought by the Spirit of God. It's a work of the Spirit. I didn't come up with it. I remember your work of faith, that God has worked a work of grace in my heart. Your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, those first works. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Do the first works. Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, have mercy upon me. He said, do the first works, or I will come unto thee. And actually, the wording there is, I'm coming. I'll come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now I'm telling you, you may say, well, I don't think the Lord would ever do. Oh, my friend, please, please, let's don't think ourselves too highly. Am I being too honest to you? I mean, is this just too down to earth, too honest? I don't think so. I think we all need to hear it. Katy Baptist Church, this is one of the places that I've just so highly for years and years and years before I ever got here. So thankful that God raised up a church, raised up a pastor. Lord, don't take your spirit away. Restore unto me, Psalm 51, verse 12, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We're never going to rise any higher in this life than casting ourselves upon the mercy of God. Repent. Do the first work. Or else, I come quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If the Lord is pleased, as I've said before, He will move the candlestick. He will. But I'll tell you one other thing that is also found within that, you know, not only moving the whole assembly, the building may still be here, and there may still be people in it, but no effectiveness, no presence of His blessing. I'll prove that. Prove that. Judges 16:3. There was a judge named Samson. Samson. Judges 16:20. Samson was a man raised up by God and mighty. And by Samson, the Lord was going to discipline Israel. He was going to do it through the Philistines. But God had raised up this man, Samson. He was a strong, mighty man. But he toyed with God's blessing. And here's what happened after about the last time that he told Delilah, this is the source of my strength. One time he messed around and he told her the truth. Cut his hair. You know the story. Judges 16, verse 20. He'd fallen asleep. Delilah said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and he said, I will go out as at other times before and will shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Lord, don't take your spirit. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, keep us by your grace. Lord, forgive us for our attitude. Lord, forgive us for our inconsistencies. Lord, forgive us that we've left our first love. I'm telling you now, listen, it's not just for Katie. I'm talking about, I could name any of them. Todd's Road, Central Grace, College Grove, whichever. Cottageville, none of them. There's not one Grace church that won't raise their hand and say, I'm it. That's me. Every believer's honest before God. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. Kept by the power of God. But this thou hast, verse 6, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let me just say this very quickly. Not a lot is known about the Nicolaitans, but more than likely they were antinomian. Now you say, well, what's that? It's another word, I don't know what it means. It means lawless, no law for me. It's those that say they believe the gospel of God's free grace. I believe 5 points of Calvinism. I'm a 5-pointer. You know, total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, irresistible grace, preservation of the saint. 5-pointer right here. 5-pointer. And it's to say, I believe the gospel of God's grace, and therefore, since I'm saved by grace, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? If I'm saved by grace, kept by the power of God through faith, I know I'm not going to be lost. What difference does it make? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, I know. He said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You hate antinomianism. You hate that lawlessness. God's people are not saved by law. They are not saved by law, but they're not lawless people. They're faithful people. He that hath, last verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God's vine, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5 says this, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? May the Lord bless these words to our heart, to our conviction, to our restoration unto him for Christ's sake.